is Native Trailblazers, a production of Schilling Media Incorporated, bringing you insightful discussion of Indian Country's hottest topics. And now, here are your hosts, award-winning author and journalist, Mr. Vincent Schilling, and the true power behind the throne, CEO and President of Schilling Media Incorporated, Ms. Dolores Schilling.
Well, I am so excited right now to welcome Tony Belcourt on, and I'm a huge fan, and not only of him, but, you know, his daughter, who I have followed for a long time, and I'm just knowing that, you know, that's his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And his son, incredible filmmaker.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I just know her, and she's amazing, and the stuff that she's done. To know you could tell a lot by, a child, your kids, you know, what type of parents they have. I mean, and let me say, she is an amazing person. So I'm a huge fan of his daughter on top of being a huge fan of his. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to, you know, welcome Tony Belcourt
on. Founding president of Métis Nation of Ontario. Welcome, Tony Belcourt. Thank you so much for coming on a Native Trailblazer, sir.
Well, this is a real pleasure for me. Thank you.
Absolutely. So people know, you are not only a smart person in terms of what you accomplished and what you've done and the things you've done, but not only that, but you are smart enough to get out of Canada in the winter, and you are now in Florida. That's where you're calling from, right? You're calling from Florida now.
Yeah, well, I'm smart enough in some ways, maybe not so smart, if you know what the value of the Canadian dollar is. Compared to the American dollar, I may have come down here, but I don't know how I'm going to be, long I'll be here, because I don't know how long my Canadian dollar is going to last.
I understand.
Wow.
Mr. Belcourt, now we have, I have interviewed you extensively. You're going to be in my upcoming book.
Well, and let me do a little bragging on there, because I can always tell when he interviews you, because then he comes out all excited. And, you know, we keep it – it's a Native show, so
– my publisher couldn't believe
it,
actually.
But let me say, you know, we it's a Native show, so a lot of people that come on are like – if we bring somebody that maybe non-Native, they're like, what is wrong with this show? Because, you know, we're just talking. But, you know, but I can always tell when he would interview you, because he'd come out all excited and it's like, guess what? So I have to tell people that. But it's really cool, you guys, because you're going to be in a book that Vince is doing, and I'm just so glad that you're going to be in the book.
Native Men of Courage.
Yeah, Native Men of Courage. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really exciting. And, you know, but you've done so many things that if we tried to smash all of that into, you know, one place, I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Because it's just I know a lot about you, but then when you start looking at everything, the research to talk to you, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like,
you put in the 70s, you put in place the
how do you put
the
all
World
that?
Native Housing Program, you know, with huge goals to build homes for you know, repair, residential rehabilitation for Métis and non-status mm-hmm. peoples. You know, he's just, you know, of course, the Métis Association of Alberta, vice president back in 1960s, and you were also former president of the Native Council of Canada.
And he's only 26.
So all this stuff, you know, one thing I'd love to ask you is, how would you say the regard for not just Métis people and First Nations people and Native people in Canada, how do you think the regard has come, how it once was and how it still is? I mean, obviously, you know, we on Turtle Island, Canada and the U.S., we still have a lot of strides to still strive for in terms of how people regard us. But
And
how
I think we share.
Look to you?
We kind of share a lot of the same. Sadly,
yeah.
Sad to say, we share the racism.
Absolutely.
You know.
Exactly.
So we got that in common.
So how were things then, and how are they now?
Well, in many ways, light years in difference, but in many ways still the same. Kind of systemic discrimination and prejudice that has existed. I'm going to speak for the Métis people, about the Métis people, because that's who I am. Unfortunately, we're still suffering from that. The problem we have, as with all Aboriginal peoples, is we happen to live in somebody else's legal system. It's not ours. And they sort of have decided how they're going to deal with us. And the Native American experience and the North American Canadian experience are different. At least where you're concerned, in the U.S., there's a relationship with recognized tribes. There's an issue about not all of them being recognized, but at least a relationship with recognized tribes who get to run their own governments and decide who their citizens are. In Canada, it's quite different. The history there has been that the Department of Indian Affairs decides who the Indians are.
Yeah.
And that's an archaic law that came into existence when Canada was formed in 1867. It still exists. There's an Indian Act, and there's an Indian Registry, and they had decided a long time ago that only certain people who they decided they were going to recognize would fall under that act, and therefore be able to deal with the federal government, or actually, let me put it a different way, were actually dealt with by the federal government.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Federal government runs their lives in many, many ways, unfortunately, although there has been some movement lately towards self-government. But for the Métis people, they were cut right out. Federal government said, we don't have any responsibility for you, relationship with you. And they did that with the Inuit in the far north as well, until... In 1939, that changed because of the Supreme Court Canada decision, which said that federal government, you've got responsibility to deal with them too. We went to court in a case in Ontario started in 1993. It's called the Powley case. And when we got to the Supreme Court, we found out what the Ontario government was saying about Métis people in that province, because that's where the issue started. It was all about Steve Powley and his son Roddy in Sault Ste. Marie, who were charged for illegal hunting of moose. And the government position when we got to court was, Métis people, you never existed in the province of Ontario, so you don't have any rights. Then they said, if the court finds that you did exist, well, you don't exist today as a people, as a community. And if the court finds you did exist as a community, well, you never had rights. And if the court finds you did have rights at some time, then they were extinguished along the way. And so they don't exist anymore. I mean, it was just that kind of cultural genocide, or not genocide by government edict. And we won. Steve Powley, bless his soul, left to the spirit world, unfortunately, very soon after his incredible victory at the Supreme Court of Canada in 2003. But the federal government now has, the biggest victory for us was that in 1850, when the government did the negotiations with a man by the name of Robinson came up there to do the Robinson-Huron Treaty and then the Robinson-Superior Treaty.
Yeah.
He denied treating with what people called us back then, the half-breeds. And the court said, the government refused to deal with them, so their rights were never extinguished by treaty, and so therefore their right to hunt fish for food is still existing right. Well, for us, that means none of our rights, as far as I'm concerned, now have been extinguished, at least in many, many cases. In some others, that's all quite complex. But for the most part, of the 400,000 known Métis in Canada, we are a landless people. And I went to Ottawa in 1971 to fight for recognition of Métis people, and my dad's cry was get our land back, son.
That was through the Native Council of Canada, right?
Yeah, the Métis people in the western provinces, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and along with non-status Indians in BC, formed the Native Council of Canada in 1971.
That's right. Maybe you tell me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we could go to Ottawa and try to get some media attention as well and get recognized. And 10 years later, we were very successful because 10 years later, one of my successors, Harry Daniels, a wonderful man who unfortunately has passed on as well, he kicked down doors and he made darn sure that Métis were going to be recognized in Canada's constitution. And that happened. There's a clause in Canada's constitution now that the Treaty and Aboriginal Rights of the Aboriginal peoples are hereby recognized and affirmed. And Harry insisted that the word Métis be included there. So there's a subclause that says that the Aboriginal peoples of Canada are the Indians, the Inuit, and the Métis. So,
that's just incredible.
I wanted to say that you guys are heaping all kinds of praise on me, but you know what, you know this. when people do things, it isn't an individual that does them, and I'm just naming of the people that have come along here that have been part of this incredible fight. And we have all kinds of people that are still coming along. We have young people today that are coming up and carrying on this fight in many, many ways. And also, we are taking our land back. We want to take our land back. We want our language to be restored or preserved.
That's right.
We want to return who we are as a people. We are a people. And we want to have acknowledgement and respect for who we are as a people. And we want to enjoy what is recognized by the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Peoples as the inherent right to self-determination and self-government. That's what we want.
It's basic humanity. It's literally basic humanity that's being asked for, and I think that's really important. And, of course, you know, one of the big reasons why we love to bring people on the show is because, we get to brag on you, and we definitely know that there are so many people that are involved in doing.
Yeah, we're not just individuals; we're communities everywhere we go.
Right, exactly, and there's so many people involved. But you know, when we do the show, it's fun for us because we can kind of brag on people that we're proud of. So I know sometimes that's not always easy.
It's not in our culture to brag about ourselves.
Well, exactly.
So we'll do it for you.
And so we enjoy kind of doing that because it's, we're very proud, to see all these amazing things that are happening. And you really struck me about, about the land and mm-hmm. With Turtle Island, it's such an odd thing, Tolta would say, that, you've got the Turtle Island and then it's just broken up all of a sudden. And you're like, why? How come that's broken up? That's ours. And it was shared.
Yeah.
So it's a very,
very odd.
It is very odd. And being, going across and as with Mohawk people, it's not so easy when you're kind of juggling this odd tri-citizenship thing, and you're, you know,
yeah, it's very
going
weird.
Across
and it is
this
weird
border.
I have to fill out paperwork to become an enrolled member of St. Regis Mohawk Tribe, and I filed the paperwork with the tribe. In order to become enrolled in Canada,
yep.
I'm filing paperwork for Canada because,
right.
you know, with Mohawk, we have, you know,
right.
we have kind of a tri-citizen, like you said. But it's very unnerving.
And it's
like
scary.
I'm registering with the government.
And it's scary because, as you said, you know, Mr. Belcourt, is that it's
Tony.
That's so hard for me. Okay,
I was waiting for that.
I'll be like,
I called him Tony a couple times today, and I was getting nervous.
Oh my God! See, I don't know if I can, because then all of a sudden, best I can do is I'll be like Mr. Tony. So don't please bear with me.
He told us to do it.
It's hard.
He told us.
But okay.
You know, can I just say something very quickly?
Then,
as I didn't. Yes.
Good.
Is I noticed something that you said, and I bet no one caught it.
What?
Or maybe if you did,
what?
It was just
what?
Very interesting. He says, we, you know, in the 70s, we formed with some individuals the Native Council of Canada. And 10 years later, we got some good media support and this and that. 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years.
Oh, yeah.
What other organizations besides a Native organization takes 10 years to get recognition? And I'm not talking about
other people of color.
Yeah,
it's what would happen. But I think what
it's like 10 years to anyone else would be like, oh my gosh, that's so long. To Native people,
that's fast.
It's
sad. I mean,
that we're like, oh, we take
fast.
Something like, I bet most of us out there listening took that in stride, and it's
yes.
like, oh, 10 years, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
take
I mean, it really, I
and
mean,
it's really sad.
And what let me put this way is.
Sure.
Oh, my – okay, this is hard for me because I'm just waiting for a slap from my tota. I mean, really, I'm like, Tony? I mean, I'm scared. That's really tough. But I just looked around for my tota. I'm not joking. And if anybody can
okay,
see
listen,
me –
okay, listen, what I want you to do is to think that you're sitting in my house or we're sitting outside by a fire and you're not going to be talking – you're not going to be calling me Mr. Belcourt. Be calling you Tony. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
You need to find that fire.
Yeah,
I wanted to pick up on what you were saying, Vincent, about the time frame. Okay, so it took us 10 years to get recognition.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, to many of us, that's kind of light speed. But,
exactly.
You know, so we got recognition now, so what? And, you know, that was 1981.
Mm-hmm.
We still do not have nation-to-nation relationship with the government of Canada, which is who we should have it with. The governments, you were mentioning, you know, filling out paperwork and all the rest of that. The governments are trying everything they can do to get us all tied up in their corporate structures and to try to pigeonhole ourselves into their laws and get us all so twisted up we're like a pretzel. And, you know, and because of that, you know, because of that, I think we tend at times to lose focus of, you know, where are we going here? What are we supposed to be doing? And there's another really, really important thing that we have to do, and that is that we have to reclaim our own spirituality.
Wow.
You know, There are many, many of our peoples who have had, for example, in British Columbia, the potlatch was outlawed, you know. So a lot of things have been, we have been made to feel by churches that our own traditions and values somehow don't matter, and we've got to put them aside and... you know, when I grew up in like St. Anne, you know, one of our traditions there is, oh, sure, we have spirituality, but, you know, after, and we went to Mass. And so then after we go to church, what did we do? We go to Flossie's house and somebody bring out a fiddle and we would be dancing.
Yeah.
And the church was trying to get us not to have the fiddle because they said that's the devil's instrument.
Yeah.
All of these things that we, you know, we have had to colonize us and to
deculturate
us. And so you know, we've got to, as far as I'm concerned, the big challenge for us now is let's get our feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what our traditions and laws are. Let's not start focusing on trying to pigeonhole into their laws. Let's do things our way. In our words, in the Chif, where I come from, we talk about Tepemsawak, the people who own themselves. Well, let's be people who own ourselves. And in many ways, you know, I want to give praise to the younger generation because they are more and more now, every time I turn around, wanting to do that. They want to reclaim our culture, our language, our spirituality. And I, you know, I've got to brag about my daughter. She's doing incredible.
She deserves it.
I just tweeted her just now telling her that I'm bragging on her because I adore her and she amazes me all the time.
Your kids, Christy,
me.
Suzanne, Shane, all of them are just doing amazing stuff. Got to give them shout outs.
Yeah, and I've known, like, I'm very, you know, close with, you know, Christy. Like, I love her. And I'm always amazed with the way she uses her talent, her artwork, to make a difference the way she does. I mean, so many people can just, like, here's something beautiful I made, but the way she tied it in to missing and murdered Indigenous women is mind-blowing.
Yep.
And definitely put that in chat so people follow her, Vince. But let me just say that you're really getting to me because right before we started the show, we were working on our Mohawk words and sitting down and going through the Mohawk words and saying them and you know, Gohonjie, and going through all of these different words that we were learning. And it really feels good when you do those things. And then it just reminded me of the White Roots of Peace. And it's weird that I was thinking about that when you brought up the spirituality, because the White Roots of Peace, for people that don't know, that was an amazing movement that really did exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, going to Native people to say, hey, it's, you know, do not, you're not a heathen. And it's basically that. It's, you're not a heathen. You're not trash. You're not bad. Your beliefs are not wrong. And I think that seems like something that is, you know, a lot of people hear that and go, that sounds so simplistic. And I'm like, no, it's very, very complicated because, you know, it's, I think about one of the my grandmother on one side of my family that confessed being Native on her deathbed because she was so ashamed. From, you know, attending these schools, she was so ashamed, and it's not like people didn't know, but she wouldn't acknowledge it. So she literally confessed it like it was, you know, this horrible sin that she committed. And it's like, oh, I have to tell you, I'm this. And that broke my heart to know that that's, you know, the amount of shame that was put on people. And it's horrible. So I think, you know, the spirituality aspect, that is so important because doesn't that really affect everything? I mean, isn't that's really the base that we have to build upon. So that's our foundation. So if we don't start there, what do we do?
Well, you know, now you've now we're talking about something that I think is really the most important thing for us to be talking about now. Ceremony is critical for us. So if we do ceremony, we ask, we say our prayers, we ask the spirits to come and join us and bring their knowledge. It helps us to awaken ourselves as to who we are and our obligations as human beings on Mother Earth. And you know that Christy again, she did a, she had a ceremony called Painted Hand Ceremony to try to you know, for us to talk about the historic relationships that we used to have, nation to nation, within among ourselves, the relationships that we used to have, and how we learned from each other and supported each other. And and when you start looking at things, you start that way. You start to say, well, we do have an obligation here, and then we have an obligation not just to ourselves. We have an obligation to the birds, the animals, the plants. When we take moose or deer or fish, we give thanks for what it is that that they are giving us. And then we have to say to ourselves, well, what is threatening them? You know, what's happening? How come there's not as many around? And all of a sudden we have to say to ourselves, hey, our waters are being polluted here. And the air is being polluted. We've got to call attention to what's going on in these things. And we have to learn about all of that. So Christy, in fact, is holding a spree cast on the 15th. And anybody's invited to listen in on it, and it's all about.
Please share any links, anything you have, anything at all.
Everybody out there, listen.
Do you, if you don't know the link, you can give it to us, and we'll share it on our site, social media, anything we can
will,
do. Tony,
we're
going to
share that everywhere, and you know, you guys, you got to definitely listen, because I trust her 100%. She's brilliant.
Just another heck of a trailblazer out there.
She is. She's brilliant, and
you must be so proud.
I couldn't imagine, man. I'm so like amazed by her every day.
It's like every day you turn around, she's doing something else amazing.
And it's selfless, and that's what always gets to me is that you know, I've come to her before where you know, I'll put a lot of stuff out for missing and murdered Indigenous women, and then people will come to me and say, "Hey, you know, I can you come on this news program?" And I'm like, "No, I don't speak for that. No, I can't." So I came to her, and then she's made me laugh because she's like, "I wouldn't do that either." So I'm like, it just made me laugh because I'm like, I love her because that just shows you it's like, it's humility, yes, but it shows you, you know, I want the families to get the attention on this, not just, you know, somebody to stand there and be like, let me tell you this. I mean, that's an odd feeling, you know, and I'm like, you don't just grab anybody, which is, unfortunately, I think you've probably seen that where they, you know, you'll see mainstream media wants to grab one First Nations person or one Indian, one Native person and be like, okay, you're the one Indian and you know everything about everything. And
that's
you're just
starting
like,
to happen now a little bit right now. With the,
no.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that happens. And so it's very uncomfortable. So everybody out there, we'll get that information and we'll post it. Vince, if it's not in Indian country, we can get that in there. But I think it's,
is it again, Tony? What's the date?
The 15th.
The 15th, okay.
It's on the 15th, and there are a couple of websites, and I've just gone on them, and unfortunately, I don't see them. Christy, if you're listening, you got to post this. The link up to the spree
cast. I'll look on her Twitter, right? Are you looking on her Twitter? I'll check her Twitter.
Yeah, I got it.
Well,
I got it.
You know, you go to Christy's website is simply ChristyBelcourt.com, C-H-R-I-S-T-I.
Yeah, I'm looking there now, too.
B-E-L-C-O-U-R-T.com. That's one of her websites.
Right,
and the other one is really, this is the one, it's really focuses on youth, and that is it's called Onaman Collective, O-N. A-M-A-N Collective, C-O-L-L-E-C-T-I-V-E, and Onaman is the ochre, the red ochre. Now, the Onaman Collective is very heavily involved in this discussion because it's going to be about water and nuclear power. And what nuclear power is doing the nuclear waste is doing to devastation of Mother Earth. We've got to focus on these things. I shudder to think where we're going to be in the next generation. We've got young children today. When they get to the point where they're going to be able to have a generation, we have to think to ourselves, at the rate we're going now and destroying Mother Earth, what's going to be left for them? And then what about the generation beyond that? It's incredible. So we need to, we have to be thinking about who we are, what our real purpose is, what is our vision for ourselves, not so much as individuals, but as communities and as peoples.
Stop this infighting.
But I think you hit the nail on the head so much.
Come together as a community. Turtle Island community.
That's what's really missing, I think, is that when everyone is trying to push you away and trying to pull you away from culture, that was, I think, the most destructive thing, which was, pulling away from the community, which is so not a normal way to exist. It's strange. It doesn't make any sense. You always feel better when you can always feel when you're getting back to the way it would have been.
Right. You say a good point too, Dolores, because what was, I know for many, many Native cultures, what was the ultimate punishment of many tribes?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, like banishment. But
being completely ostracized,
which is
the opposite of being a community. So you're going to, buddy, you're going Han Solo. You know what I mean?
Or so having women mad at you.
There's a little Star Wars. there's a little Star Wars. Oh, by the way, I have good news for you, Dolores. Very quickly, just because I happen to say Star Wars comment. That R2-D2 thing.
We can
do
that later.
That R2-D2 thing you saw? It's not R2-D2.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's how you can tell this is a Native show, you guys. Out of nowhere, it's R2-D2.
Well, she saw it on Tony. She saw on. A movie clip where R2-D2 she thought was rolling on a ball. I think, but it's actually a different H8B8 android. There you go. I'm a Native nerd. Okay.
No, we get letters from where First Nations people and Native people are like, this is why we like the show, because it really is this funny, because this is exactly how we just hang out and talk, and that kind of feels nice, because it instead of being kind of more stuffy and like, okay, we are doing a radio show now, it's like,
exactly.
Let's just talk.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just shared, by the way, Tony.
I did too.
I shared Christie's Onaman Collective.
Me
so
too.
I shared that. Check
and
out
then,
Vince Schilling, Dale Schilling, or Christie Belcourt. We've just shared the Onaman Collective.
Yes. And anything that she's doing, follow.
Intricate.
Seriously, follow what she does, because she is brilliant. But I think
a couple of things I wanted to say that. We're not going to have enough time, really, to talk about a lot of things. But getting back to the website.
And we would love to have you
anytime. Oh, that would be great. The event, the Spreecast on the 15th, I'll cut that and I'll post it on my website tonight.
Oh, great.
How to click into that link. And my website's easy. It's tonybelcourt.com. No, not my website. My Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page. Just look me up, Tony Belcourt, and easy to find. And I'll post
I will
it on
actually,
my
Tony,
Facebook
what I'll
page.
Do is I will put your Facebook page in the link of this show description. So if you're listening to the show now, you can be listening live or you can be listening in archive. I will put this link in the description now. Give me a few. We'll have to wait till right after the show for the description. But I'll put that Facebook description.
And shockingly,
link.
There are now, I don't get it, but there are now over 650,000 listeners, which
how is that possible?
is really
wow. And right now our chat room is completely stacked.
And that scares me because I'm like,
Twitter is humming right now.
That makes me nervous.
You, Tony, so.
But
okay,
you know,
well, the other thing mm-hmm. I wanted to mention, and it's really, this is really important. It's called Walking with Our Sisters. It has a website and a Facebook page. You can Google it. It's called Walking with Our Sisters. Mm-hmm. This was, again, something as Christy's idea in 2012 to...
And it's walkingwithoursisters.ca.
Yeah. And she had this idea. Well, we weren't getting anywhere with the Ontario government or the Canadian government, rather, about doing anything about missing and murdered Indigenous
That's
women
right.
and girls and Two-Spirits. And so she said, well, yeah. I'm going to ask for, I'll put a call out for some vamps with moccasin tops, and I'll create an exhibit. And this will represent the unfinished lives of these missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirits. And the first thing that happened when the exhibit took place, the first place in Edmonton, was that family members came and they started to break down.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm getting body chills telling me this, Tony.
And then it really became critically important to have some elders come there and some grandmothers and some keepers, and then people were coming and bringing eagle feathers, and people were bringing medicines and things to this quote unquote exhibit, and pretty soon it morphed from being an exhibit to what it is now, which is ceremony. It's all 100% crowdsourced. It's traveling until 2019 in a number of communities. It's going to be in Michigan in the spring of next year, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And then it's going to be in New Hampshire as well. It's going to be in Washington in the U.S. I know those places are in line, and traveling throughout Canada. It's a place where your name, your title, your position is at the door. You don't count. You're there as an individual. You're there to honor the spirits and honor of those that that have passed on, and to pray for those that are missing. It's such a moving experience. So if anybody, when this comes to their area, I really urge people to go. It just came from Akwesasne. It was there for a 3-week Akwesasne.
It was Mattawa. Yes, it was.
The week before. Now, there are other people that have been putting pressure on and doing things to push for a national inquiry. And I'm really happy that, as you all know, I guess most people in America now know too, we have a new government in Ottawa.
Yes.
And they've been making some incredible promises to Indigenous people. They did promise during the election campaign that they would hold a national inquiry on missing and murdered Indigenous women and children and girls. And they did announce that last Friday. The three ministers involved announced that. And they said they're going to do it not by just appointing some commissioners to go out there. They said, we're not going to do this inquiry until we listen to the families.
And that just started. I was cautiously optimistic, you know, listening in the beginning, because, you know, it's like, oh, no, please do not use, you know, the missing and murdered Indigenous women, you know, as you know, a political talking point, as that happens way too often. But I was cautiously optimistic, and once they made the announcement, you know, and it came through, I cried. And you guys, hashtag WWOS, you'll get more information about Walking with Our Sisters. It is something that I have shared that photo many times, and it's, as you know, I tweet every day And I know Christy has tweeted the tweet that I do. But every day it's been, gosh, at this point it's been like years. It's been years. But every single day I tweet the same tweet that just shows, you know, photos and how many women, and just so that people can see that it happens. And nobody knows about it. And in the States, people just are so shocked, because I don't know if you're aware of this. Okay, do it. Tony, I said it. Okay. So it's hard. I'm like, okay, Tony. It's like,
you had that voice. Suddenly I thought,
I know,
trouble,
I get nervous.
Oh, I thought I was in trouble for a second. What do I do?
But Tony, it's been a really shocking thing, because what we found out, and it's only because I'm connected to through our family, you know, that we know the truth about, you know, what's going on with the missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, Two-Spirit. I mean, it's only because of those connections that we know. But I don't know if you know this, but they're doing different shows and things like that. And the Canadian government, when they were doing a show about it and talking about the Highway of Tears and talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, they reported it as only 3 or 4.
That's right.
And I mean, of course, I started yelling at the television. It wasn't a pretty day in the Schilling household, okay?
No, you're upset.
I lost it, and I was so angry, because, of course, you know, how is the person being told this information? They don't know. Because you're talking to an official and you're like, okay. And I saw that and was so shocked. And so I put it out there and so that other people could see that. And people were like, are you kidding? So it just goes to show you the way it's reported on. You know, they put it out there like, hey, it's really that nothing's happening. It's not a big deal. That no, that's not it. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And you know, you go to the border and I can't. It scares me too much, because, you know, our stuff was thrown, broken, thrown on the ground and then x-rayed and getting yelled at, standing there for 45 minutes because they were angry at us for, I don't know.
When I tried to cross the border, they gave me a 30-year background check.
What's your purpose? And you're like, revolution.
What
do you think?
Clearance.
I don't know.
I have a treaty clearance rights. As a member of the Akwesasne community and a member of the St. Regis Block Tribe to cross freely.
And of course,
and they did a 30-year background check.
And Vincent,
I was like,
are you joking? And this is where, you know, Vincent is a lieutenant in the Army.
U.S. Army.
And the thing that he had to get clearance for that, and so that's what was kind of funny.
Yeah, I had a secret clearance in the Army.
But yeah, and so what was really scary, Tony, people are going to be like, what is wrong with her? But what was really scary is we had just had this show, and we had just talked about the date and when Vince was living in Compton, where he grew up in California, that, you know, he was just walking down the street and the cops jumped out, and well, let me say, Vincent, walking down the street, they pulled guns, they got the guns at him,
right.
And they're like, you're in a Mexican gang, you know, and he's like, huh? You know, I mean, he's just this little, poor little Indian kid, like, what are you talking about? You know, so we brought it up on the show, and it's actually, it was all dropped, nothing happened, because he wasn't doing anything, and when we were at the border, they brought it up word for word to what was brought up on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost fainted.
Yeah.
So it just scared me to no end. And, of course, Tota's like, sadly, that's kind of normal. And, you know, and it's like, you know, Tom Porter, I don't know if you know Tom Porter, but
yeah,
he is amazing. And Tom Porter just says, you know, like a true elder – I couldn't believe it. He just goes, well, I always tell him, if you're going to keep me here, then you better put the teapot on. I'm not sitting here unless you make me tea. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know how to respond to that because I'm too busy trying not to faint, you know, because it's just frightening. So just amazing. But I don't know how, I mean, our time goes by so fast. And
well, let's give some love.
Well, I would like to please ask you to come on again because you've brought up so many things that...
And I want to keep talking.
Yeah, I know. I could just talk forever with you. But it's like I definitely want to invite you on again for a full show, a good full two-hour show. So maybe we can, you know, work on making that happen. And I think that you bringing up what you brought up is so important and has gotten me really excited because I think with everything going on, I think that's what we all needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think we all needed to hear embracing all of these things that we have been told don't embrace or that they're bad or that you're not supposed to and that you're a heathen, you're bad. I think it's something that needs to be embraced. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. And you know, as soon as we finish, I'm gonna sit back down and go back through the learning some more words and getting trying to make Tota proud. So when I call her, I can talk to her and give her even more words that I know. But I think you hit the nail on the head. And creating our communities back and being in our communities together is that's what's going to save everything.
Absolutely.
And it's needed.
Right.
And I'm just so glad you brought that up because you're right.
Yeah.
And
Tony, thank you.
It's
thank
necessary.
You. Thank you for coming on.
Well,
the show.
Thank you. Well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to be on your show and to talk about some things I'm passionate about. I like your format of your show. It's a very friendly kind of way of having a good old talk, and that's the way we used to be. I mean, what the heck?
Yes,
why not continue that?
That's the best compliment ever.
Means the world to us because that's what we really wanted was, just kind of like. And it's funny when you said like sitting at the fire.
Yeah.
Me and Vince were sending private message back and forth because we actually do things called fireside chats.
Yeah.
And so we're like, hee, 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 because, we do like that, and it's just us joking. And
she's actually played the sound of a fire.
Yeah,
the show,
I do.
It calms me down.
Fun. It's fun. And you go through that. And the biggest question we get is people say that are non-Native or non-First Nations, that they come on and they go, you know what, like, the thing that's the strangest, but not bad, but it's strange for us, and that this is what we get, is no matter what you guys are talking about, it could be a very serious show about suicide or anything, there's always laughter. And I that's so normal, to us, but it never dawned on me how that seemed different. And, on the outside of that. So I'm like, wow, I never thought of that.
We always try to strive to celebrate, and sometimes we laugh to keep from crying.
But I thought it was a really interesting thing to hear that. I was like, wow.
All right, Tony. Well, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it very much. You have a great holiday.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we can't wait to have you on again, and we'll stay in contact so that we can get you on for a full 2 hours, and maybe we'll make it a fireside chat.
All right. Well, you take care and all the best.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.